No, my we're in Nehemiah 4, and we're going to start in verse 7 today. Just a quick recap. They're starting to build the wall. Things are starting to move along. And of course, the enemy is not going to leave them alone. So the old enemy that met them before is coming back. Sanballat, Tobiah are coming back. And we saw that they were just very much bringing their past and trying to discourage them and trying to deliver a word coming directly from the enemy. The same words that you and I hear all the time. You already ruined it. You messed up. It can never be fixed. This is weakness. This is horrible. The same stuff that we still hear day after day. But then we see Nehemiah going back to the Lord, and he had one of the most amazing prayers in the Word of God. And I loved the last time how we had difference of opinions about the prayer. Some loved it, some didn't care for it very, very much. But all I cared about last time that we were honest, and that's what God wants from us. You know, God wants our heart, wants our honesty. And Nehemiah was before God pouring his heart, and his heart was at this place at that time. At that time, he was very hurt. He's seeing people stopping his work, stopping the work that he's trying to do. And he just poured his heart before God. And you know what? This is not a bad place to be. Pouring our heart before God. Just being honest with God. Like, God, this is how I feel. You know, just a few minutes ago when we were working through this part, I expressed some frustration. Like, and I'll share it with you guys later on. Like, in terms of, as soon as I feel like I got a hold of something, a whole new thing comes up. And you know what? It's frustrating sometimes. I'm like, why can't I just enjoy the moment? You know, enjoy that I became better at this, or I came, you know, and things are getting easier in this area. But you know what? It's all training, and it's all going to be for the glory of God. So here we are. This is a new season, new battle, new war. Starting in verse 7, it says, "But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So here we are again. The enemy is sitting and watching every little progress you do in your life, every little progress I do in my life, every little progress in your business, every little progress in a relationship you have, every little thing where he sees that you're advancing, that means you are taking something from his kingdom. Every time we build a wall around a wall of holiness, a wall of privacy, a wall of relationship, whatever it is that we build, that means he is losing. And the enemy, we know that he's a sore loser. He's not going to stop and stand by just clapping and say, you know what, great job, you did your best. No, he's a Clipper fan. I mean, sorry, he is not going to give you that moment. You know, he's not going to honor anything that you're doing. He is going to come against it, and he's going to I don't know, that was the enemy, sorry. So
I agree.
Hey, Brother Larry, you're supposed to be on my side. So today he sees that things are happening, and you know what, that original image that God had in mind for the town, for the city, the original image that God had in mind for your life and my life, for our family, for our church, is starting to come back, and he flips. And he's not going to back down. He is going to attack, and he is going to hit, and he is going to hit with everything that he has. You know? So we see here the same mission that Nehemiah has, the same mission of rebuilding, the same mission of restoring, the same mission we all have, is being attacked now in a different way. Remember last week and the week before, they were attacking you know, using the past. They were attacking using their weakness. They were attacking using things that, you know, just bringing disgrace to their work and what they're doing. Right now, they're actually threatening them of war. Now we see a physical threat. Now we see a harm, a completely different kind of war. You know, in some seasons, you see attacks at your job. In other seasons, you see attacks at your health. In other seasons, you see attacks at your finances. In other seasons, you see attacks at your relationships. The enemy keeps going from one attack to another. One thing that that got my attention in this is that some of the people that joined the fight was the people of Ashdod. If you go back, you will hear about the people of Ashdod in Joshua 11. In Joshua 11, when the Lord said, go on and take the land, those people were supposed to be part of the people that would be eliminated from the land. Those are the people that worshiped Dagon, the god, whatever his name is. They did very much the same thing the others did. They worshiped these weird gods. They sacrificed their children. They sacrificed their women with, you know, horrible sexual conducts and stuff like that. They threw their kids in fire and water and all of that. They were supposed to be eliminated. And here we are, a couple of hundred years, we hear about them again being there in that same spot. I remember we talked about this during the book of Esther, when we found out that Haman came from his ancestors were people that were supposed to be eliminated. But the Israelites and King Saul specifically did not eliminate them. And here we see Haman coming back trying to eliminate all the Jews. And here we are, another story where the people of Israel were supposed to eliminate these people and they leave them. And here we are, they're coming back again to attack them. See, when God tells us to eliminate something, it has to be eliminated at the roots. It has to be completely eliminated. Philip was telling us something that there are some roots in the backyard, you know, in the area that we're doing some work. And he is insisting, and he's telling me, you're going to spend a little bit more money, but you have to eliminate it. And I hear the word money, and I'm like, what? No, leave it. You got to leave it. And he said, no. But he's the professional. He's the one with the vision. I'm not. I'm about the easy work. I'm about to like get it done quick for the least amount of money. But he knows what he's doing. You know, he knows that if those roots grow again, they're going to ruin all the work that we're doing. You know, but to me, it's just, you know, it's okay. It's not good. You know, right here, we see that same issue again. An issue, a problem that was not eliminated at the roots, we see it coming back to bite them again. We see it coming back to give them pain. So, Pastor Albert had this question. What are practical things or what practical ways that you can think of, and this is an open dialogue, please unmute yourself and share, that we can eliminate problems at the roots? And I'm going to share with you a couple of examples really quick, not because I want to hear myself talk, but I just want to give you an idea. And I shared this with them a few years ago. Watching basketball was a problem for me, a true problem, because it got me so angry. If they win, I'm very happy. If they lose, I'm very angry. And I become so grumpy. I'm not myself with Dina or the kids or the people around me. I based my joy and my mood for the night on a basketball team or on a soccer team. And God kept pointing out to this. God kept pointing out to this until one time I saw myself punching the wall and actually making a hole in the wall because someone missed a shot. Yeah, I'm talking about me. I know all of you know me, and you know that I'm not this kind of person, but this is where I got. This is where it took me. And I'm looking at myself and my two kids, and we had people over, and my wife and people, and I'm so embarrassed, acting like a barbarian, you know, making a hole in the wall because someone missed a shot. And this is a problem that God has been telling me to eliminate. This is an issue that God has been telling me to eliminate for a long time, to the point that I had dreams about it. And I let it go, and I let it go. And it became part of me. And it caused me to be angry. It caused me to be impatient. It caused me to be, you know, short with Dina and the kids. It caused me to steal the precious time that God gave me with Dina and the kids and to give it to something meaningless. This was a problem that had to be eliminated at the roots. Just a few months ago, and I think I shared this with some of you, I couldn't sleep. I was barely getting half an hour of sleep. And I know where it was coming from. And God kept pointing, eliminate this, eliminate this, eliminate this. Until the point I became exhausted, unproductive at my work, unproductive at home, unproductive everywhere. Because God keeps pointing at something in my life and I am ignoring it. This problem had to be eliminated at the roots. And there is so much more. I'm just giving you two examples so you can, you know, think of the areas and the things in your life and my life that God is pointing at and saying, you have to eliminate this. You know, the people of Ashdod, it was not one of the main big cities. It was not Jericho. It was not, you know, one of the important cities or whatever, you know. But you know what? And that's probably why they left it. But it came back and now it's giving them pain and it's threatening to end their life. So think with me out loud for the next couple of minutes, really quick so we can move on. Think with me out loud. What areas in your life that needs to be eliminated, that God is pointing at, and what practical way? If you don't want to share your story, that's fine, but at least share with us what practical ways we can eliminate those roots that God keeps pointing at.
I think one thing that God will show us, and I know he's shown me in the past, is forgiveness and letting something go. You know, you harbor it and you keep it and you hold on to it and it just causes you harm.
That's good.
It's very good. What else? Okay, I guess it's just me and Pastor Mike that have problems that that need to be eliminated. High five. Okay, so think, if you don't want to share with us, that's fine, but think of it for yourself. If you want to write it down and think about it on your own, please do. I know that after the meeting, I'll be thinking about this. You know, because when I was sharing, when I was writing this down, I thought of every people of Ashdod that are in my life. I thought of every Haman in my life. I thought of a lot of things in my life that God is pointing at. And I know in a lot of them, when we studied this in Esther, I overcame a lot of it. But you know what? The longer I live, the more I find things that need to be eliminated. And that's fine. I am completely okay with that. And then we see, as I mentioned, we see a different kind of threat, right? In the beginning, it was, you guys are horrible. You ruined it. It will never come back. Now we see a different kind of threat. Now we see a different kind of people. So it's not just one or two enemies. It's not just a couple of people standing. No, now we're seeing armies. now we're seeing different kind of battles. We're seeing armies. We're seeing everywhere we look, we see an enemy. And this could be exhausting and overwhelming, right? And that brings me to an honest question. Why, God, why? And I'm here doing your work. I'm here leaving my work. I'm here leaving the comfort of being at the palace. I'm here leaving all these things. And I'm coming here doing your work. I was able to put up with a couple of things, you know, a couple of bad words from here, from this and that. But now my life is in danger. Why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you allowing a new trial to happen? I just overcame one. Why is there another one coming my way? And it's not just coming from one or two people. It's coming from every direction. It's coming from the Arabs. It's coming from the people of Ashdod. It's coming from the Ammonites. It's coming from Sanballat. It's coming from all, from the Samaritans. It's coming from so many places, so many nations. We just finished your work. We're just getting good at this. We're just making progress. Why is another battle coming my way? Something that I have not seen before. Something that I'm not prepared for. Do you think the people of Israel at that time were prepared to win a battle, an actual battle, like fighting swords and stuff like that? Do you think they had the equipment to fight? Do you think they had the weapons to fight? Do you have the strength? Do you have the time? Do you think they had any of it to fight these wars? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But here we are finding them in the middle of a war that they're not prepared for. It's not time for it. They have no idea how to face it. So here comes the question. And please, please, please think about it and try to share out loud with the rest of the group. I have a few thoughts, but I want to hear everyone. Why does it feel like as soon as I get good at something, and I'm just saying it in my own language, right? As soon as I get good at something, something else comes up that I'll need to start from the beginning again. That I'll start to learn from the beginning again. Wait, before we answer that question, do you ever have that feeling? Or is it just me? You can just nod. You have that feeling?
Yeah.
I know you do have that feeling because you live with me. So every day there's something new. Do you ever have that feeling that this season was tough, but you know what? We made it. God taught us a lot, and we overcame, and we're getting better, good at this. And you know, you feel like it's now time to, you know, celebrate. It's now time to enjoy. It's now time to, like, you know, hey, you know, hang a couple of certificates. I went through this, and I did this, and I did this. But before you start even enjoying it, you feel like you're being asked to learn something new, or to go through another battle, or to gain more wisdom or strength or experience. Does that ever happen to you? Really, like, be honest. It's church. It's Bible study. So if that's how you feel, tell me why this happens.
I think God wants us to be in continuous dependency on Him. You know, anytime we get to a place where we're independent and we can rely on ourselves, God is not really in the picture, and He loves the closeness. He loves the relationship aspect of it. So in the challenges, we're always looking for God, and He wants that closeness with us.
So what is the real where is the real danger, Dahlia? The real danger is when it's coming from the outside and God is with me, you know, or the real danger is no matter how that danger is, no matter how big or small that danger is, or the real danger is that me leaving God and try to figure it out by on my own.
That I become independent.
So you're telling me that this is now not something to frown upon. This is not something to be upset about. This is a blessing, because the real danger is when I leave God and try to depend on myself. Okay, that's wonderful. What else?
I think the key is, and that's why I didn't respond to your first question about the issues that we have in the flesh, because that consciousness will always be there. The way to start one's day is being sensitive to when God wakes you up. It could be at 11:30 p.m. It could be 5 minutes past 12. It could be at 2:30, 3 o'clock. It doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter how many years one has been doing this continuously, day in and day out. It is still a struggle because the flesh is always there. In those moments, and I don't care what time it is, and I'm not saying that, oh, sometimes I spend 3 hours, 4 hours. The time has nothing to do with it. It's the obedience of the unction of the Holy Spirit. That still small voice that he speaks while you're asleep and you wake up, you know that's of God, because you've heard that many, 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 many times. The obedience of it. So how I prepare for that is I want to be in his rest. That's the key. All hell can be breaking around me, 10,000 falling by my right. There's no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. That's the mindset that I have. Yes, I'm not ignoring the reality of things, but my spirit man and my focus is on God himself. Why? Because as soon as I get up on my feet, and let me tell you, it's not easy. The first thing I say is, I am laying my spirit, soul, and body on the altar, because I cannot stand unless I have been on my knees. I cannot speak unless the coal has been applied to my mouth. Isaiah chapter 6. That's the cross. In entering in through that humility and recognizing that it is of thine self, that's when the relationship and the inner end starts manifesting itself. And that's enough to get me by. Now, some scriptures that God revealed. Notice that when Noah, when he saw that the ark had already landed on the mountaintop, he didn't get out of that ark right away. Then scripture says that he removed the cover. And he's looking outside. He probably saw, oh, that ground is probably dry by now. But he didn't move, buddy. He did not move until he sensed that the Lord told him, get out of the ark, open the door, and let everybody out. That's the key. We get so in tune with God that we follow those instructions. Now, will we trip every now and then? Of course, because he is leading us into new paths and directions. My sister Gina asked, when am I going to go? Well, I feel like Noah right now, where I see that the land appears to be dry, but in my heart, and this is my conviction, I don't have a release to come out yet. Now, is this a warning to the body or to you guys? No, this is my conviction between me and God. I don't understand it, but I'm going to obey it. If I ever will understand it, that's fine. But when I get the green light where he says, okay, get out of the ark, I will. Same thing with other examples, and there's too many of them to share, but being in his rest is indescribable. You're soaring like an eagle in the heights that are indescribable. And that's why whenever I'm getting up all groggy, by the way, I turned 70 years old here, I'm not going to say, it was this month that I turned 70. So I'm over here grumbling. You know, Lord, I'm 70 years old, dude. I can't be doing this stuff no more.
Happy birthday.
And it's like
happy
he birthday, just, Larry.
Huh? Happy birthday, Larry.
Oh, thank you. And it's like he said, you think that I don't know that you're 70? And I started to chuckle, you know, he does have a sense of humor. You know what I mean? But that was a lovely time in prayer. And I'm excited as to where God is going to be leading us. It'll be just a matter of time before I'll start giving some call to some of you guys. Pastor, once I get that green light and we'll start seeing more specifics as to the direction that God is leading. Because it's awesome what God is preparing us to do. And I like this study because it challenges us. Do you know, do you recognize the leading of the Spirit of God? The Old Testament, they had the cloud by day and the fire by night. When it moved, they had to move. When it didn't move, they didn't move. We have to know when to move and when not to move.
That's very good. And I really enjoy, appreciate what you shared about resting in God. But that's something, first of all, it's not something easy to do right away as a new Christian or even as a seasoned Christian. It's not something that can be easily forgotten. And I'm just speaking out of my own personal experience. But my point earlier was about what do I do with the attacks that keep coming one after another? You know, if I'm a single mother and this month I barely covered my rent and covered my expenses and I felt like I saw the goodness of God, right? And I feel like I'm singing praises and I'm like, I got this. And like, you know, God got me and all of that. And then before I even enjoy this, before I enjoy that moment, you know, I get hit with sickness. I get hit with, you know, one of my kids being sick, or I get hit with, you know, my car breaking down, or I get hit with something. I'm talking about the different battles that we face in life, because we're talking about real life. We're talking about what we go through day after day. You know, I'm talking about sometimes having problems at work and finally having a little bit of relief from those problems. And then I come home and there's a problem with one of the kids, or there's a problem with my neighbor, or there's a problem with this. We all go through that, right? Am I the only one, or is it really like you guys go through this as well?
Yes.
You know, and my question is, how do I deal with it? How do I deal with those moments? And I can't help, you know, but look up and ask God, just like we appreciated, you know, Nehemiah's prayer last week or the week 2 weeks ago, that he was brave in what he was saying to God. I am being honest and saying sometimes I look to God and say, I just finished with this. I'm just done with this. I'm just taking a deep, I'm just starting to take a deep breath. And then I find something else that hits me. And what Dahlia shared earlier is exactly what I had in my mind. And day after day, God God taught me, it's much better to live in pain and depending on Him than to live in whatever it is,
comfort.
In comfort away from Him. I would take the pain while living with God over comfort living away from God. Because this pain will bring me comfort, and this comfort will bring me pain that cannot be fixed. Did I confuse you?
No, not in the least.
Because I'm confused.
Well, people can have hidden knowledge of the Word of God, but that, how does one apply the Word? Let me ask, how does a believer apply the Word? And we have examples of it. How? Because it's not from yesterday's manna that I'm living with. I'm seeking that manna first thing, primero Dios, first is God. And it's one thing to have a head knowledge about His Word, but if I'm not confessing it, there's no application.
And that's
Jesus. When Jesus was tempted, He didn't think, "Oh, get thee behind me, Satan," or "Man does not live by bread alone." He spoke it. And that's a relationship that each individual has to build with the Holy Spirit. Because we have a high priest that sits at the right hand of the Father. And even Father God says, I could go to a couple of examples in the Old Testament that is the actual application of that Word that gets you over the top. Because you can have all the head knowledge of how good and how great and that God is merciful and that by His stripes you were healed. But unless you know when to apply it and confess it and take authority, not the dunamis, but the exousia, that's where the breakthrough is at. And that's why I'm excited about what I said earlier, that I see where God is leading us or going to be bringing us to that point. Because when we start moving in the Holy Spirit, we're going to see some demonic activity cut and dry. Now, that doesn't scare me none at all, but some people may. And these are the facts of life, because if we're God's army, we operate as workers, worshipers, and warriors. And when we get into the warfare, a spiritual warfare, some Christians aren't ready for that because they'll be out of balance because there's a devil behind every side. Now, that said, and I'm going to say this with caution. I read that when you handle the truth of God and the counterfeit comes up, you're able to spot it. I was blessed because we have a pastor that worked in a bank and he lived what I had known theoretically as a young Christian. And I heard out of our pastor's mouth that he handled the real money. So there's a caution that when we focus too much on the counterfeit, you're going to get sucked in. And there's cautions about that in the Word as well. I don't mind recognizing that there is an enemy out there, but we have to be careful as to what we say, because out of your mouth proceeds either life or death. Now, that said, it's good to have these conversations, but me, I'd rather focus on the truth. I'd rather look at the things that are not seen than the things that are seen. Now, I do have to see when the breakthrough is there as well. Don't misunderstand me. But that comes through time. What I sense that's happening is we have to focus on the application of God's word in our lives and not so much about the enemy being out there. Now, we can't ignore that there's an enemy that we're coming against, but we have to maintain it that he's not equal with God. It's the application of God's word, confessing it, living it, breathing it, not head knowledge. You go into Luke chapter 4, when Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus didn't think about it, he spoke it. And what I like about the Gospel of Luke is that he didn't say in the last time that he was tempted, but he said, it is said, or it was spoken. And not too many believers will see that last, that it is said. They only see it is written. It is written. It is written. Well, you can have it written, but there comes a point where you got to speak it. But that comes when God is ready to start balancing the ship the way we should be balanced. Because once we start seeing the dunamis of God, that success can bring brothers and sisters down, because it's easy to say, oh, man of the hour and power. But, you know, it's just the speaking of God's word that needs to be exercised. And I'll leave it at that. I took too much time.
I think we agree on that, that the battles are going to keep coming. Even in the examples you just shared right now about our Lord and Savior, the enemy didn't tempt him once and leave. Actually, he kept tempting. Right? And this was my point. And I'm not glorifying the enemy. I'm not glorifying the battles. I'm just being realistic that we are going to have battles, and we're going to have the enemy coming against us in so many different ways. And as humans, as believers, as people who love God, we have these moments where, Lord, why is this happening? Or why am I, you know, I just got good at this. I'm not rejecting it. I'm not refusing it. I'm just wondering, we just became good at this area. You know, why am I being hit with something different? And what Dahlia just said right now was perfectly put. And also, in my own opinions, we can get to the next part. Also, it's good for us to go through different kinds of battles, you know, because it makes us feel for other people. Because I might look at my battles and say, this is it. This is the most difficult battles. Why are they whining? What are they crying about? You know, you got nothing. But when we keep going through these battles, and I know that I could personally go through that battle, like, you know, when someone is sick, I'm like, come on, like, you know, toughen up. Until my home was hit with sickness, then I realized how difficult that battle is. I realized how painful that battle is. You know, it's something present. I have to deal with it. You know, I'm dealing with it through the Word of God. I'm dealing with it through the Holy Spirit, but it is there and I'm dealing with it. You know, when we were completely broke, you know, completely broke, didn't even have money to buy food for our kids. That's a battle that some people would look at and say, who cares? As long as you guys have each other, you know? You guys have love in your home. You're together and all of that. But you know what? It was a battle. It was painful. You know, it was painful to go through it. And the word of God and God's mercy and God's love and God's grace took us through it, taught us something new. So my point in this area is, don't expect when you become good at something that it's over. And don't doubt when something else comes up. God is just trying to work on us. God is trying to make us feel for other people. God is trying to make sure that our dependency becomes on Him, not on our own strength or our own experience. Because this is truly when trouble happens, when we become independent from God. And also, this is how God does His perfect work, both in building the walls and His people. God is trying to connect the people and the walls together. He's trying to mesh their hearts with His work at that time. Now, we're not just trying to protect, we're not trying to build, but we're trying to build and trying to protect. You know, it's all coming together. Though the battle is different, our approach, and please listen to this, and I'm going to remind myself with this as well. Though the battle is different, our approach should be the same. Pray, seek help, seek wisdom, and wait on God for answers. You know, you might be going through a season right now of financial difficulties. God is going to take you through it. And the next season, you know, when things are better financially, you might go through health issues. You know what? The same God who was faithful before is going to be faithful again. Wait on God, trust in God, seek God, and He will deliver as well, just like He delivered before. And Pastor Albert shared this with us. Instead of praying, we complain, or instead of seeking, we rely on our own strength, or we become too impatient to wait on God. And God allows these battles in our life to do the opposite. Rely on Him, pray to Him, seek Him, and then our hearts, our souls will become strong. Our relationship with Him will become stronger and stronger. Then the voices of Tobiah, Sanballat, all these other people became very loud. However, their loudness did not stop the work. Listen to what it says. The walls had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed. The gaps were being closed. And this is something that we should take and dwell on this moment, this for a while. The gaps are being closed. Let me go to Pastor Albert. If you can share a couple of thoughts with us about the gaps that are being closed, and then we'll.
This whole idea of gaps is so prevalent in the scriptures, you know, in the walls or in a fence setting. There's a passage in the Song of Solomon that says, be careful of the little foxes that spoil the vine. And these little foxes are these little creatures that will enter in through the gaps of a fence or a wall, that will enter in and begin to eat the grapes or eat the nourishment that's inside that compound. And it gets so fat with the food that it becomes more difficult as you try to get rid of it. It's now too big, if you will. And sometimes it's important, well, oftentimes it's important for us to recognize what those gaps are that the enemy has tried to penetrate through, because him coming in is so much easier than him getting out. And so it is critical that we begin to understand what those things are. And it might be good for us to share, you know, what some of those gaps are that the enemy looks for in our lives, in our individual lives. And some of the things that were shared, just to kind of jog your thinking about this, are things like, in my individual life, inconsistencies in my individual life, or my personal areas of struggle, or wounds that have come up from the past, because all of us will have those kinds of things that will rear their ugly heads once in a while, you know, because we all have issues that we've tried to deal with in the past, and we think we're over them, and we're really not over them. And time does not heal old wounds. It just doesn't. These things will continue to rise up and take different forms over and over again. But these are the gaps that are in our lives that God wants to bring a closure to, a connectivity to, as far as the wall is concerned, so that there is no more gap for the enemy to come in and do what he wants to do. Also, in my own personal life, there could be an element of fear. Fear is a huge one. And you've heard it said that God repeats, you know, the phrase over and over again, do not fear or fear not, be not afraid. He repeats that over and over again in scripture. Why? Because fear is a paralyzing thing in a person's life. And I think if we're honest, it attacks us at different levels and we respond to it very, very differently. In other words, we don't all react to it the same way, but we all can be impacted by fear to one level or another, you know, afraid of what's going to happen in my life, afraid for my family, afraid for my children, afraid for our future or whatever the case may be. So fear can also be a big one. If anyone has any thoughts along those lines, and let's just kind of keep it at 30 seconds to see what individual things could be a cause of a gap that God wants to bring a level of healing and restoration to.
Pride.
For sure. Pride for sure.
We heard two Sundays ago about lying and dishonesty. It's a huge gap. Mm-hmm. Can cause a lot of trouble in my life.
Very much so. What about for the families? What about for us as families? Not just individuals, but we all belong to a family, or at least a family in the faith. So what about our families? Could there be areas there that need to have those gaps closed?
Traditions, family traditions. Generational history. We should,
Things that are passed down from grandparents to parents to children and grandchildren and so forth.
Pastor Mike alluded to it earlier, unforgiveness. I don't know, is that something?
Yeah, sure. Sure. And unforgiveness is going to hit us at the individual level, family level, church level, on every level.
Right.
And when it deals with forgiveness, it's always somebody that's very close to you. It's not like a stranger. Yeah. That's what makes it gut-wrenching.
What about the church? What about the church? What gaps need to be closed as far as a church is concerned? A body of believers, brothers and sisters worshiping God together.
Tradition.
Tradition.
Religion.
Religion.
Mm-hmm. Part of religious attitude about maybe doing certain things and being stuck in that way, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a seeking for some kind of recognition in the church? Wanting a form of power, wanting to be recognized. That can sometimes be a problem. Or relationship issues between people. Or between families. So these are all examples of gaps, you know, that need to be recognized, first of all, and then committed back to God, and then allowing God to say, you know what, Lord, show me where the gaps are in my life. Show me where the gaps are in our family. Show me where the gaps are in the church, and give me your wisdom to do what I need to do. Because if you notice, each of these builders was building in front of their home.
Yep.
Each of these builders wasn't going to their neighbor and trying to fix their neighbor. Wasn't going to the right and going to the left or going to talk to this person or that person. Each person was working on what was in front of them. And if I work on what's in front of my home, my area, and each person works on the area that's in front of them, the whole wall is going to be automatically closed. And that's the way it was designed here in the book of Nehemiah. And I think that's what God has for us to do. Sometimes I can be preoccupied with what's happening in someone else's life and not so much what's happening in my life. And if I close the gaps that are happening in my life, and each of us does the same, then that closes that wall, and it creates a much stronger bond and a powerful and safe place, much like in the early church.
Yeah. You know, something Dina shared earlier, she said, usually the gaps come in the area that we least expected. Mm-hmm. You know, when something that stands big and tall and strong and nice and doesn't, you know, because we're all paying attention to the things that are, you know, weak or ruined. And, you know, that's what we pay attention to. But usually these gaps are in those areas where we expected the least, you know, and they come and it ruins everything. It ruins all the work. Yeah. And when they heard this, because we have only a few minutes to close, they did something really unique. They prayed again. And that should be the automatic response to anything. Just praying to God. See, because during prayer, we see God. During prayer, we see his power, we see his authority. We see that he's still in control. We see that he's still on the throne. During prayer, my favorite time of prayer is early in the morning when I'm running and, you know, during my runs, you know, because I just look up and see that the beauty of the sky and like what he's done and like, no, you're still around. You haven't lost it. I don't see the moon collapsing. You know, the second you see the moon collapsing on Earth, you might worry. But as long as the moon's still away, and as long as the sun still within the perfect distance, I know that God's still in control. So if you ever doubt, just look up. And you know what? If you see all of that still in the perfect measurement, still there in its place, just know that God has not lifted the throne. You know, when you see the sun crashing at your house, you need to worry. But other than that, you can trust in God. And then after that, they posted guards. And this is something that's really amazing and new for them. And Dina will take us through it.
So it says that they prayed and then they posted guards day and night. And just a couple of things about this. First of all, you know, it's interesting because they relinquished their independence or their ability to do something to the Lord first by praying, right? They said, we pray. And then they did something. So lots of times, you know, we eliminate our role in something. God wants us to have a role. There are things that we need to do. And in this case, they prayed to God and then they posted guards day and night. They were active participants in what God was doing. They were saying, hey, there's stuff we can't control, but then there's stuff we can control and stuff we can do. And they posted guards day and night. I think this is an interesting question. Is they posted it at night. That's understandable. Why during the day? Why were guards posted during the day? This was a city that had been in ruins for so very long. And posting a guard during the day is more of a proclamation, isn't it? It's more of a, you know, profession of, hey, by the way, this is what God did. By the way, we're here to let you know, this is the work of God, and it will not be moved. It will not be put in ruins again. It will not be changed. And as I was reading this just a little while ago, I just had this fire inside of me, like, do I say that of the work of God, the work that God's done in my life? Do I stand and proclaim that in front of the enemy day and night? You know, posting guards day and night is sort of meaning, it means that there's a constant vigilance. There's it's not just for a little while or only when it gets dark or no, this is 24/7, right? And that is part of our role, is a 24/7 vigilance. I think a lot of people look at intercessory prayer as being that part of constant vigilance, that way of living. It's a way of living, intercessory prayer. It's a way of being who we are in God's presence and in the face of the enemy. And in that very same way, these guards that were posted day and night were really truly a proclamation of what the people of God had done, the work that they had done, and the work that they had committed to continuing to do.
And also I see the progression. These are people who lived in ruins. Mm-hmm. These are people that accepted the defeat, accepted the disgrace, accepted all of that. All of a sudden, someone comes and they become listeners, and then they become builders and become doers, and now they're becoming warriors. Mm-hmm. You see the progression in their attitude towards themselves and towards the land. No, this land is not going to be ruined anymore. We're going to build it. And this land that's being built, we're going to close the gap to make sure that it's well kept. Not only that, but we're going to guard it with our lives because it's so important to us. Mm. The progression that you see in their attitude and how they value the land is completely different from where it was a few days ago or a few months ago. You know, that's when the work of God is anointed. And this is what happens when the body of the body of the church or the church comes together and start working together as one in unity. You see God doing something, and that guard standing or those guards standing all day, this gives confidence to those who are building, gives confidence to those who are working hard. You know what? Even if I am working and I'm very busy covering this area, my brother got my back if the enemy attacks. My brother got my back that he's going to alarm me. My brother got my back that he's going to, you know, defend me. My brother got my back that he's going to be the eyes for me in case I'm not seeing something. Mm-hmm. And that's what true unity, true family, church family, or true body of Christ should look like. You know, they went from one battle to another, different types of battles, but their attitude keeps getting stronger and stronger. Their connection with God, their connection and their rejection to the ruin, the rejection to the old ways is increasing as we go. Mm-hmm. It's 8:00 now. I think we're done with our time, but let's read that part again and keep reading that chapter. Next week, we're going to talk about those who are getting tired, because we do get tired, and how we can deal with that as well.
Sam, can I share something quickly?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so since the whole meeting, I have one word is coming, you know, to me, the word discerning, which is the whole idea about dealing with battles and, you know, war and the trouble that we go through. I think a key word here is the discerning. So you have to recognize what voice is speaking to you. Is it the voice of the enemy that mocking you and putting you down and saying that you're failure, you're not going to do anything, all the work that you're doing, if a fox claim into it, it will collapse, and all this kind of, you know, mocking. Or there is like a unspoken voice. We don't see it. We don't hear someone telling them, keep going, keep working, keep building, keep closing the gaps. This is a voice that they had received. Maybe it's not written, but something that it's telling them, keep going. Don't stop. Don't look at their mocking. Don't look at their, you know, putting you down. Just close gaps, build the wall, everyone take care of your in front of your house, and so on, you know. So it's discerning. It's a game of discerning, to discern is it the voice of the enemy or I'm gonna listen to the voice of the Lord, the voice that telling me keep going, not to give up. Not there is hope. The all the voices around they saying there is no hope, but there is a small voice saying there is hope. I should listen to this hope. So how I'm gonna deal with the battle and the war and the, you know, all the trouble that I go through? I think I have to train myself out, or let the Holy Spirit train me how to discern His voice, because it could be a very small thing. Yeah. But it could change the whole attitude. I'm gonna I'm going to share this to you in few seconds. Yesterday, I was really like overwhelmed with thank God with busy work. You know, I was busy thinking about this project and meeting new clients and so on. So it was like overwhelming. I was so tired. And then I tried to get help. You know, I was trying to call someone and instead of getting, you know, the help, I got the answer machine. And in the answer machine, the little girl, you know, saying, "We love you." And that's it. That was it for me. You know, that was the answer. I just heard this little voice saying, "I love you." You know? Yeah. Yeah. So it was amazing. You know, but it was all what I needed to hear is that someone tells me, you know, "We love you." Even from a little girl like this, you know, I know it sounds bad, but, you know, I heard the word, you know, and that was the answer. And that was, I felt like God is saying, "Don't worry. Don't worry. I love you. I care for you. And believe me, at that moment, I heard it from God. I didn't hear it. You know, I heard it from God, and the overwhelming was lifted. I was delivered, you know. So discerning. When you are going through hard time battle, discern the voice of God. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Well, Pastor Albert, can you close us out in prayer? And we'll see everyone next Wednesday.
Lord, we just thank you for this time that you give us, Lord, to speak truth into our lives, that you are the one who wants to close and bridge the gap, Lord God, in those areas, whether it's on the individual level or in our families or our church, Lord God, that you are on the move and that you are allowing us from time to time to go through certain challenges to build us up as you want to build these walls. You want to build our character and build our faith in you. I pray that you would give us the eyes to look to you, to lift our hearts in faith to you, to expect you, knowing that you are always, always in control and always on time. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, minister to us, and even in our sleep, Lord, as we heard earlier, that you would speak to our hearts and teach us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bye, everyone.